Just a few things we got coming up. Saturday, September 12th from 5:30 to 9:30, we're going to have a marriage night. It's going to be a live stream through Right Now Media. Bunch of fantastic pastors, comedians. Should be a wonderful night here. You'll not want to miss that. We got some food and some other things going on, and so it should be a wonderful evening. You'll want to sign up online. There should be a link in your email. I'll make sure that's up on Facebook as well. $15 per person, so it's $30 for a couple. We'll have some light refreshments, food, or something going on here. Just a reminder, Wednesday night, we are still meeting at Zoom at 6:30. The link is in the email if you want to join us with that. And then we're going to have an all-church meeting last Sunday. If you can remember back then, Tom had shared with us a proposal he had with the board of video equipment to make live streaming better than a camera in your face, a cell phone in your face. And so I apologize, the audio should be better than it is right now. If it cuts in, cuts out. We're working on that. That's part of the difficulties with, we were lent a much better camera to try out and just kind of help us out, but we couldn't get audio working. So here we are. But we're going to have a good service. We're going to hear from the Lord. You don't necessarily need to hear me as long as the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts. But getting back to the camera, so just a reminder, on the 12th after church will be an all-church meeting. If you just call this church your home, we'd love to have your input on where you see the Lord leading us in regards to going a live stream and doing it a little bit better than an iPhone in the face. So that's where we're going with that. And now Mr. Russ is going to join us here in front. Kids, you can just stay in your seat, and he's got a little message for you. I'm going to hand off the microphone to him and move the camera. I apologize, online people.
Morning, boys and girls. Time for children's sermon again. Are you half as excited as I am about that? Yeah. All right. Yay. All right. Well, my lovely wife has brought with me with us today one of my favorite illusions. And I want to remind you what the word illusion means, boys and girls. I want to be very clear. Some people call it magic. Magic that is in the form of sorcery or witchcraft or something you see on TV is never of God. It is always of Satan, and we need to stay far from it. What I do in magic is called an illusion. That's just a big word for it's a secret trick that I know and you get to try to figure out, okay? All right, now, this one actually reminds me of, could you run over there and grab that Bible real quick for me, Miss Lynette? She won't run with the heels on. This reminds me of what it looks like, what it is for me like when I read the Bible, when I study God's Word. This illusion reminds me greatly of. Now, I have a bag here, and as you notice, my bag is totally empty right now. Am I saying that God's Word is empty? Oh no, nothing could be further from the truth. So let me explain what I'm trying to say to you. Sometimes I'll be, maybe in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher will say, okay, everyone, let's open up our Bibles, and we're looking inside at a certain verse. And I look in there and I think, wait a minute, I know that verse already. I know that verse real well. I've studied it many times. There really can't be anything else in that verse for me, because I've studied it so many times already. And then the teacher, he'll reach in and pull out some truths about maybe what was going on in history at the time and pull out some wisdom and knowledge, that verse that I had never seen before. I'm thinking, wow, that is a pretty cool verse. And then a few weeks later, I'll be maybe in church and I'm listening to the pastor. By the way, do y'all listen to the pastor when you're in church? Well, okay, we'll work on that. I got to, that's pretty good. All right, and I'm listening to the pastor, and he starts talking about that same verse. So I'm looking in that verse, and I'm thinking, yeah, wait a minute, we've already done that verse in Sunday school. I've read it a lot of times. There can't be anything else in that verse for me. But you know what he does, uh-huh. He reaches in there, and maybe he talks about maybe one phrase and how it parallels some other phrases in Scripture throughout God's Word. And he pulls out some more wisdom and knowledge out of that verse, thinking, wow, that's a pretty cool verse. A few weeks later, I'll be riding down the road listening to Christian radio, and the pastor on the radio, he'll be talking about the very same verse. And I'm thinking, no way, there possibly could be nothing left in here that I haven't already heard. There's nothing else in that verse for me. But you know what he does, don't you? Maybe he reaches in, and this time he just talks about one or two particular words and tells us about the Greek or Hebrew meaning and helps us understand even more of God's Word that applies to our life and how we can live it out. Boys and girls, I've come to find through the years that it wasn't just this one verse, but it's literally all of God's Word that is overflowing with truth and knowledge and wisdom. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that God's Word is alive and it's active and it's powerful. I suppose if I read through this book from cover to cover 1,000 times, that the next day I could pick it up and learn something new again. There is no book on planet Earth like God's Word. It is truly amazing, and I hope you will spend all the days of your life not just glancing at it on Sunday morning, but studying it throughout the week. That our life will be like this bag. Our life will be overflowing. In the good times and bad times of our life will be overflowing with true peace and joy and fulfillment that God intends each of us to have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that teaches us how to walk, how to live our lives, that we may have peace and joy and fulfillment in the good times and the tough times of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Russ, with us. I realized I cleaned up so much. I cleaned up my pens here to write down prayer requests, and I am nothing without writing something down. Would you throw that at me, please? I trust you.
I probably hit Ann.
Oh. Well, we don't want to hurt Ann then. So we do want to spend time in prayer for one another, so we'll take prayer requests. Though I'd like to transition next week, and so definitely want to pray for one another, but I would ask you if you could get your prayer requests to me ahead of time, because especially translating digitally this time doesn't work super well for those who are listening online. So if you can get your prayer requests ahead of me or just yank on my collar or whatever when you get here, slip me a note or something like that. Love to pray for you. Love to pray for everybody. So if you just try to get that to me before we enter to this time, and I think it'll help it go a little bit smoother and be beneficial for everybody. But we certainly want to pray for folks. I didn't give you that heads up. So how can we be praying for one another today? Sabrina, we'll keep on praying for you. Correct? Or do you want us to stop?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll keep on praying for Sabrina, that the Lord would find that right perfect place. And this week you have a doctor's appointment, is that correct?
Yes, Tuesday.
Tuesday, so hopefully that'll go well and we can end that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be lifting up Sabrina. Who else can we be praying for? Is that what you meant, Scott? Hopefully that's not going over the top of my head now. Okay, thank you, appreciate it. People in Louisiana, yeah, we definitely want those people in Louisiana who are gonna get back-to-back hurricanes. That's gonna be tough with the Lord's. Lord certainly got that. It's gonna be a tough year for anybody that gets a natural disaster. Okay, cool. We're trying to find hospice. I assume for a relative. That next level of living? Absolutely. Lee, we're excited that you're here with us, but you're going to be leaving us, aren't you? Yeah, so Lee has not only birthday today, but are you going to adjust me, tweak me? Okay, good. Yeah, I figure I probably amped it up too much. You can climb up here. You're welcome. As long as you don't. I don't share the spotlight, though. Yes, but it's not going to work. I don't know. We're going to get as much message in as we can today, folks. I'll try to talk quickly. Do we just need to acknowledge it and move on?
Yeah. Low power mode. See if that'll take care of it.
If not, I'll preach. I'll speak quickly. I've gotten feedback I don't speak quickly enough for you all, so you Southern ears are used to quicker people speaking people, right? Listen to David Platt. Listen to David Platt, and then you'll appreciate my cadence. Oh, pickles. Now I've lost track of godly things. Lee. Yes, Lee. Thank you. Appreciate it. So we're going to lift up Lee. So next Sunday will be Lee's last Sunday. He's going to go to New Orleans after the hurricanes, right? After the hurricanes, he's going to go to New Orleans and spend at least a year there, active duty. So he also graduated from college. And so we're going to celebrate and honor him and send him off next week. Let me go ahead and go to prayer then. Not try to skip it. Anybody else's hands? Oh, sorry.
Hmm.
So, Kyle, what was your grandfather's name?
Carl.
So, we'll lift up Carl and his salvation. I don't want to skip anybody else. Now that these lights are working, it's more blinding up here. But I guess you can see me more better. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are good and you are great and you are gracious. We lift up to you, Sabrina. May you guide and direct her to the right home, give her peace and heal up her head, give the doctors wisdom. We pray for those in Louisiana or wherever on the Gulf Coast these hurricanes, these storms end up hitting. Lord, may you use these natural disasters for your glory. We pray that you would use COVID and racial tensions and everything else, all the other stuff we have to deal with this year, the elections. Lord, may you be glorified and honored. And it may this give us wonderful gospel opportunities. We pray for Jeff trying to find hospice for his father, Lord, or the nursing home, or just whatever that next level of care is. Guide and direct him. Open up a bed in a room. We lift it to you, Lee, and we're thankful and grateful for him. May you guide and direct his next steps. We pray for Carl, and Lord, may you soften his heart, open it up to your gospel, your truth, and as he's going to hospice, Lord, may you place perfect nurse or doctor, whomever it is, open up his heart to hear from you and accept you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Sure. And so as you're doing that, if you could end that, save that, and I'll try to splice it together, and it'll be whatever it'll be. Well, you need to save the video. And it's probably not the end of the world if it's just the service. So it looks like it's just about me, and not Mr. Russ and his good messages. And so those of you who regularly do children's services or would like to do a children's message, please let me know. We want to make sure that we take care of the kids in this time. So please let me know if you're interested in that. If not, I'll be reaching out to you if you have done it or if I think that I would like you maybe to think about doing that. All right, great. So we'll go into God's Word. He's probably just looking on the camera. I'm mostly there. It's blank. I don't see anything either. Okay. I guess it's working. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Let me pray for this message. Usually I want to open with something. We'll pray. Lord, maybe the technical difficulties we're experiencing this morning are meant to throw each of us off from the truths you want to be shared this morning. Lord, you know I'm excited about this, excited about what you've revealed to me a couple of months ago, and I pray that as this message heats each of our hearts, that it would help each of us become more like you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this is kind of week three, looking at, we started with John chapter 15, that he is the vine. I'm not sure if you can read those underneath there. Oh, well, we'll move past that. You've already heard it. Not that you can learn anything again from Scripture, right, Mr. Russ? You've heard it once. You got it. So, but John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. He says, I am the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? You can do nothing. And so that's the basis where if we can abide in him, that's where the great wonderful fruit comes from. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. So there's joy in abiding in Jesus. We've all experienced that when we're walking with him, we're doing what he's asked. Even and oftentimes, especially when, man, that was uncomfortable. That's not what I wanted to do, but whoa. Afterwards, you feel like you're walking on clouds. This is great. This is wonderful. I'm not sure where that apprehension came from. Similarly, last week we looked at Psalm chapter 1 and the key verses there, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. So his delight, the law, the instructions, what's revealed about God. This is where the delight of that godly person comes, that blessed person. And he's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And all he does, there's prosperity. So these are great, wonderful things. We unpack them. If you missed them, you can go and check those out. But today we're going to focus on, so how do I know if I'm abiding in Christ? Or how do I prepare my heart each day? And which is going to look different. I have a reason to this madness. So how do I prepare my heart? How do I get ready? What buckets do I need to be filled? What does it look like to be abiding in him? And specifically for each of us, it's going to be varied. But we're going to look at three big buckets that as followers of Christ, we want to be looking at. And if you're in John chapter 15, we were just 11, skip back a verse. John chapter 15, verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So abiding in him is abiding in his commandments. So then we look at, well, what are his commandments? So I got to make sure. Remember I said three baskets, so I'm not talking 613 bins, plus if you actually look at the New Testament, there's about 2,000 more do's and do nots. That's pretty overwhelming. I think some of you guys know where I'm going with this. So we look at, well, what was the greatest commandment? What was that? Yeah. So it sums up, so the greatest commandment, and then we'll go with the Great Commission, love God, love people, make disciples. So these are the three bins that I would argue, if we could focus on these bins, obviously it's differently applicable in our lives. What it looks like for me to love God today might be slightly different than what it looks like tomorrow. How do I love people today is different than tomorrow, especially since, well, today is Sunday. I have different roles and responsibilities than Monday. And for each of you, it's similar. For loving God, loving people, make disciples. So you already said it. Where we had that Pharisee came, the lawyer came to test Jesus. What's his greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. These are the overarching. Man, if you're doing this, if you're loving God, truly loving God, we'll look at what love means, what love looks like, loving people, then how can you be outside of God's will? You're going to be abiding in him. You're going to be doing wonderful, awesome things. Likewise, that Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So if we're loving God, we're loving people, we're making disciples, we're going to be in God's will, are we not? These are very clear commandments from Scripture. I want to go ahead and before we dive into those, peel those apart. So what is love? I was there with you, David. So we can talk about that afterwards or sing about that afterwards. Baby, don't hurt me. So what is love? I think we have this common understanding, this common feeling that love is, man, love is, it's having a close relationship with someone. It's that strong friendship. It's that adoration. It's perhaps the appearance of being nice. So we're not causing any waves. We're just going to, as long as we have the appearance of, man, this looks pleasant. Man, I'm loving, aren't I? I can love my wife without actually loving her. as God would see me love her. We can have perhaps a close relationship, but without loving her. And so we'll jump into what would God say? And so I believe that looking at the agape, it would say it's putting what is best. Love is putting what is best according to God in His will and His standards for that person. And what this looks like, especially this agape, this is sacrificial to your will, your desire, your comfort, your etc. Well, what's better? What's best for that person? And when you really lean into, well, what's best, often that gets into tough conversations, does it not? Doing the tough things the right way, it can get messy, but can also be fantastically good and wonderful. Jesus' sacrificial love was shown on the cross. Did Jesus want to go to the cross? Absolutely not. It was recorded right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But for God's will, if it's God's desire, He was going to do that. So it's putting what's best according to God and His will, His standards. That's what love, it's not. I'll tell you what, I've struggled for much of my Christian life. You know, I've seen the bumper stickers, real men love Jesus. But I have in my mind that sensual love. Does anybody else kind of go there when you hear, you know, real men love Jesus? You're supposed to love God. I don't feel that kind of, I don't know, that emotional thing. But are you willing to put Him first? You see, you recognize, Lord, you are Lord. That's where it's getting at here. We'll take a look at Ephesians 5. 28, 29 kind of makes this a little bit perhaps clearer. Apostle Paul says, in the same way, husbands, you should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh. I underline that because I actually thought that was incorrect. I didn't agree with that at all. But nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Has anybody known somebody who's depressed? Certainly. You know, it felt, you know, I am scum, I am nothing, I am whatever. You know, that could be a little depression, that'd be deep depression. I think we all know folks who have even taken their own life. Does that seem like, man, they've really nourished their flesh? If they're engaged in cutting, if they're taking their own life, if they're doing these, what would seem like very harsh actions toward their body, does that seem like love towards yourself? So, but it says right here, no one has ever hated his own flesh. So if it's one person, then obviously this is a false statement. So what does it mean then? What does this really look like? So in this context, love, what you're doing by putting the needs and desires of yourself before others. So we all do this. Man, you might think, man, Brian's not taking care of his body. I really want to get that picture of you, that you took, John, of the chips. I was going to put that up there right now from Friday night. Man, he's not taking care. He just eat a bag of chips. He's not working out. You just do whatever makes you feel better. Well, it's all about me. And so in a sense, you know, I believe in the biblical sense, you are loving. You're putting yourself above anything else. And that could be eating when you ought not to. That could be shopping, spending the money. That can be, you know, in depression, you're just going to sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep. Well, because really you're just trying to do whatever comforts you, whatever brings some hint of satisfaction to your body. Avoiding confrontations, ignoring things, maybe confronting, even so much as suicide. You're just like, you know, I can't take this anymore. This is so hard. The pain is so incredible. And I don't know anybody who is feeling that. I just need this to be over with. It's the ultimate harshest way of ending that pain. But because you're trying to self-medicate, taking yourself. So in a sense, while I wouldn't call that cherishing by an English standard, but no, you're putting yourself absolutely first. Does this make sense? Yeah, no, we've never hated ourselves. In fact, we put ourselves first far more than we ought to in life. When in fact it should be loving God, loving others, making disciples. Jesus, in fact, he had this, I'm not sure how many times I should have looked this up, but it's another number of interactions in which Jesus repeats these two great commandments, because this is pretty important. It's pretty basic. Amen. But we don't do it very well, do we? We have that flesh that gets in the way. So we're going to look at it today. Period. So first, starting off, is that loving God. Having that be the basis for everything, because, well, can I really love others if I don't really love God? Because I'm not going to put what He desires over what I want to do with that person, the interactions. So what is His will? What's His desire? What's His plan? Far above anything else, setting that foundation in my life. Am I loving God? Am I intentionally prioritizing and cultivating my relationship with God? Am I intentionally doing it? Yeah, that time is going to have to come out of somewhere. It can come out of something that's, you know, I really got to do this, or you know what? I've been investing a lot of time into my own flesh, whether it's Facebook, movies, we all have time for the Lord. I think this is why you often hear it recommended to start out your own day with time in God. I try to be really careful and not saying dogmatic, you must do this. Because Scripture doesn't say you must start out your day in prayer with Jesus. You must start out your time in prayer with God in His Word. However, if we're going to love God, if we're going to put Him first, how can He not be close to the first of our priorities in the day? If my shower, my coffee, my bagel, my newspaper, my Fox News, my CNN is more important than Jesus, my priorities are not aligned. So as we're loving God, so how do we get into this? So it's this, Lord, what do you want from me today? We all have plans. We all have ideas. We got things we got to do. Mark's got how many years worth of engines he's got to build? Hopefully not too many years. We've all got stuff. We've all got things that are weighing on us, things that are draining on us. Lord, what do you want me to do today? There's a couple of great verses. What I pray every morning, I pray Romans 12, Romans 6, 6. You all have heard it. Romans 12, 1, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So I do that just, Lord, I present to you my body as a living sacrifice. Present to you myself, holy and acceptable. Lord, I'm alive. I can do whatever you want me to do, but I'm dead to my will, hopefully. At least that's my desire. I think most of us want to be there. It's just tough getting there. But I love that the holy acceptable, I'm already set apart to you. I'm already acceptable in your eyes. Just use me, Lord. Similarly, Romans 6:12, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Lord, I present my hands to you, that they do whatever you want from them today. My eyes, that they would see. My mind, that they would think on those thoughts of you. My mouth, that it would say only what you would have it say to build up. We know the tongue does terrible things. Lord, help my heart to really be focused on you today. And I intentionally go through those parts of my body each and every day. Present my members. Lord, these are yours. If you look at verse 11, you go back a verse. Basically, the default is, if we don't do this to God, the default is almost, well, I'm presenting my members to Satan as instruments for unrighteousness. That's just how we are, unfortunately, as people. And so out of this, we've done all this, out of this grows His will for your day. So, all right, I'm on track with the Lord. All right, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? We'll love people. Because most of it is, it's in the loving people. So Lord, what's your will? What's your desire? What's your plan first and above everything else in my life for the people that you've placed in my life? You could think about this in, all right, Lord, with the people, and that's on a day-to-day basis. What's good for today might not be good for tomorrow. We can look at the Good Samaritan. You all are probably pretty familiar with the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, I imagine. The lawyer comes up, how do I get eternal life? He said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? Actually, it's the same thing. Hey, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same thing we're talking about. Love God, love other people. And what did he try to do? He tried to justify himself. Well, okay, fine. Well, who's my neighbor? Clearly, that must just be my Christians within, well, he wouldn't say Christians, but it just, you know, it's my Jews within a close geographic area. We know he goes into the man, he gets stripped, robbed, beaten, all this stuff. The priest, the Levite, these guys who should be the first to rush in, they go the other side of the road. They're not loving him at all. But the Samaritan man, he has compassion. He bounds his wounds with oil, wine, sets him on an animal, takes him to the inn, and he pays for everything. I'm sure you've caught that sacrifice. It's costing him time. It's costing him money. It's costing him his comfort. Why would you not want to ride your own animal? It's costing him a lot to do God's will. It's going to cost us to show that love. It's going to cost. Do you think these guys were best friends before? No, it's amazing he even called them a good Samaritan. Were they best friends afterwards? Probably not. They were probably friendlier, if not friends. Of course, this man was the good neighbor. So, Lord, with whom do you want me to say, to do, to interact? How do you want me to do them? What would be loving to them? What would be your standard? How would they receive it? Once again, this agape, putting them, what's best for them according to God, his will, his standards. Often sacrificial to your will, your desire, your comfort. And just keep in mind, it's not necessarily about their desires. If you ask me what I want, that doesn't often match with what the right thing is. What would be most comfortable for me is sitting at that table with 3 bags of potato chips. Right, John? So it's not, all right, let's bring all the potato chips we can to Pastor Brian. Is that what's best for him? No, of course, that'd be dumb. I do still have a few of them left. So I appreciate you letting me take some home. So it's not about their desire, their will. It's not about what would make them most comfortable. God often, he takes us out of our comfort zone. And that's where the most growth happens. And so as we think, how do I love people? So this was, how do I love people? That's the saved and the lost. Lord, who have you placed in my life that's a follower of yours, that's perhaps in this local body, that's the Christians, but who also, the lost that you've placed in my life, who do you want me to love today? Who do you want me to place sacrificially? What do you want me to do? Because it's so easy, because for the most part, we understand one another. Although Wayne might be saying, Pastor Brian, I love you, but I don't understand you. But we kind of get each other. It's a little bit easier where we're coming from than somebody who has a different mindset. If they haven't accepted Jesus, man, it just seems wacky. But we're supposed to love both, are we not? Was Jesus his priority? Remember, he calls Zacchaeus down from the tree, and they get all mad. Why are you eating with this terrible, terrible man? What do you say in Luke chapter 19? I've come to seek and save that which is lost. It's not just the family, but it's outside the family. Lord, who do you want me to love today? Just take it day by day. He might give you inklings down the road. Lord, whom do you want me to love today? How do you want me to do this? With the lost, do you want me to share the gospel, lean into that uncomfortable conversation today, or am I just building that relationship, that foundation, so that way you can build on it? What do you want me to do today, Lord? And then finally, that layer building on top of that, that make disciples. And these all kind of, I guess they're kind of building on each other, but they're all so mixed together in a wonderful mess. He calls us to make disciples very clearly, Matthew chapter 28. So what's a disciple? It's one who reflects the characters and priorities of Christ. So are my actions like Christ? Is who I am? Am I prioritizing things as Jesus would? Or am I just, I'm acting more like a Christian, so I must be a disciple? Do I have the same priorities? Once again, seek and save that which is lost. Do I have the same compassion? But it goes further, engaged in modeling and reproducing that in others. Jesus' life of ministry, it was getting the word out that he is the Messiah, dying on the cross, but he built up his disciples so that way they could carry it further and beyond him. He had 10, 72, I'm not sure how many, said, you know, the 100 or so that were equipped and ready to reproduce who Jesus was. So we haven't arrived as followers of Christ as disciples. We're not really disciples unless we're reproducing that in other folks so they can reproduce Jesus in others. So, Lord, what do you want me to do today to make disciples of myself and others? Because it starts with us. Am I really being a disciple of Jesus? Am I sitting at his feet, opening up his word, being that person who is taking that joy, that delight in the word, the instruction of God? If I'm not first doing that, well, how can I expect others to do that? Looking at, are there character issues of myself I need to address? Are there priorities of myself I need to address? Lord, how do you want me to model these characters and priorities of Jesus? How do you want me to reproduce these in others? And so once again, this becomes very different for each of us. We're in different places of our lives, interacting with different people. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to reproduce with my spouse, my kids, my coworkers, somebody in the church, my neighbor, a relative, a friend, somebody who's lost or saved? Is there any preparation you need me to do? I wrote that down there for, I don't know, for myself. But if you're meeting with somebody else, you know, preparation for Sunday morning to preach the word. You all don't want me to come up here just kind of shooting from the hip. That happens, ideas come in my head, and I follow those. You can pick them out. But I should at least have something prayed out. Lord, he's guided and directed. So as we close, I encourage you to think through this mindset. Day 39 of the 40 days of making disciples, for me, it was a fantastic, there was so much awesome stuff. This, for me, I don't know, might have been the biggest impact. We're starting, all right, now think through your day in these three bins. And so, I don't know, I took an hour or so and just kind of thinking through, how do I have that mindset, love God, love people, make disciples? What does that look like on a daily basis? So this is just literally just copied and pasted, some edits in there. You didn't need to know everything. But just as I'm thinking through, spend half hour, what does it look like? All right, loving God. Filling in those, you know, that. And you don't have to write it down. If you're a writer down, if that helps you, that's fantastic. Or just mentally, all right, Lord, what do I need to do to love you? And if you're already starting that quiet time, you're already well on that way. All right, Lord, what people do you need me to love? And getting specific for that day. Lord, how do you want me to make disciples? Being specific for that day. And then the tough part, well, what priorities might I have to prune in order to accomplish? If I'm not loving you perfectly, which I think we can all say we're not loving God perfectly because we have flesh. We're not loving people perfectly because, once again, we have flesh. And we're not making disciples perfectly because we have our flesh. So what priorities do I have to prune in order for this to take a greater presence? So this is, what did I say? No need to play on the phone in the morning, checking Facebook, news articles, etc. I don't need to waste my time. In fact, I just feel bogged down after I do all that nonsense. Stop procrastinating. There's a number of things that, hey, I need to prune areas. These might be similar to you. You might have different areas. But I really encourage you for thinking through this lens, this grid has been fantastic for me. Taking it day by day. So the preparation for Sunday, I know Sunday's coming. You all know stuff is coming. What do I need to do today for tomorrow? I'm going to meet with somebody in a week. What do I need to do? Lord, what do you need to do today? We don't need to get overwhelmed and worried about tomorrow. Hopefully, does this make sense for you all? And so I'm going to encourage you to do this. What would it look like to prioritize these three for you right now? What would it look like to prioritize loving God, love people, making disciples? And what priorities would you have to prune? And I don't say that to admonish or beat down anybody, but to just encourage you to look at, man, this is going to be awesome because it'll be freeing, because some things you don't have to worry about. Other things will become higher priorities. And give yourself grace as you fail each day in doing this perfectly or wonderfully or even satisfactorily. Just keep on keeping on it. Like I said, I was excited about this. It's just been, this has been a game changer for me. How do I think through doing these? Because God calls us to each of these. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you loved us first. You've loved us perfectly. You've loved us just awesomely. And you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've changed our lives if we have accepted you as Savior. We've placed our faith in you. So, Lord, I pray today that you would help each of us to think through this. How do we love you more? How do we love others better? How do we make disciples better? Give us your grace, your wisdom, your discernment. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.